The Electric Light Orchestra and all over the world to start the hour for Alan, and one of Croydon's most famous sons, Captain Sensible. Haven't heard that for a long time. Glad it's all over. Requested by Chris. 40 minutes past 8, the full English breakfast show. We'll certainly be glad when it's all over, won't we? At least Sarah's allowed outside now. She's been self-isolating for 14 days and she hasn't got any symptoms, but she can't get a medical certificate now. It's just the world we live in at the moment. But anyway, here she is with another episode in her lockdown diaries.
It's a god-awful small affair. Yes, my daughter has rather ironically mastered by herself Life on Mars on the piano during this confinement period, which has, as you would expect, become my earworm. What's even more ironic is that Life on Mars was released by David Bowie after he failed to release an attempt at the English version of a French song, Comme d'habitude, which of course was later My Way, recorded by Frank Sinatra. Now stick with me on this. Comme d'habitude literally means, in English, as usual. But I guess more, much more than this, I did it as usual, would not have had the same effect as My Way. As usual, or comme d'habitude, has been taken away from us during confinement, and even those of us that continue to work, there's no longer the norm. The norm in many of our day-to-day actions, catching up with friends over coffee, joking with your work colleagues or arguing with them, going to the cinema, restaurant, family picnics, although I've never liked a picnic. But the only usual tasks which have remained are the rather tedious ones, such as housework and cooking. We're not all obliged to enjoy cooking. Why am I telling you this? Because I only just realised how comme d'habitude things have become after my first outing after 14 days of self-isolation. While being stuck at home, it had been and still is a challenge. Let's just say there are good and bad days. I always reason with the fact that it could be worse, although some days are harder than others. But it hadn't really hit me. I hadn't been outside. I didn't go far, just to the supermarket for a few essentials, and the most essential thing was a birthday card for Charlotte, who was spending her 16th birthday in isolation, and as I told her, she wasn't the only one. As I walked the empty, quiet streets, there was no queue in front of the shop, and everyone seemed to be protected, at least by a mask, and some had gloves. I sadly noticed how no one was smiling. Now, I know there's not much to smile about right now, and maybe wearing the mask kind of defeats the object, but the smile in people's eyes can say a thousand words, and I was once told that you were never dressed without one. I respected my distance, only for another customer to accidentally bump into me. He apologised profusely, and I said it didn't matter, and for some reason gave a rather nervous laugh, to which he replied that that was the first laugh he had heard in days. I looked at him sympathetically and continued my shopping, not quite sure where to put myself. I was looking at shelves with not much on them and thought I'd better get some essentials, butter, milk, and before I knew it, I was at the till with a full basket. The man in front of me was elderly, wearing a mask and coughing. Well, that was it. The cashier was not impressed, and as he tried to speak, she shouted that she couldn't understand him and started waving her arms about. The man, obviously rather shaken, paid, picked up his shopping and shuffled off, leaving behind, yes, you guessed it, a rather snotty tissue on the till. Some may say karma, but the cashier went ballistic, disinfected the whole area while screaming, and even disinfected me. Once she'd calmed down, she started scanning my items, and I duly put everything in my bag, paid, and turned to leave. It was only at that point that I realised I hadn't bought the birthday card. So cross at myself, I asked the security guard if I could leave my bag by the till and just pop back to get the birthday card. He nodded, no smile. The selection of birthday cards was rather dire, but I eventually found something. As I headed back to the till, an employee with trolleys stacked high and trying to juggle several items at once dropped everything. I ran after a bottle as it rolled away. I'll point out now it was a bottle of water, not gin. And then I stopped in my tracks as I picked up the bottle. I looked up and everyone had literally frozen. Nobody was moving. It was as if they were playing musical statues, only there was no music. And it hit me. Everybody was petrified of touching anything that was not theirs. And then I started thinking, what have I done? How stupid of me. And for a moment, I panicked. Then I got cross at myself. Yes, we must respect social distancing. Yes, we must wash our hands. But everything in the shop had undoubtedly already been touched before, and all I had to do was wash my hands. But the logic had gone out the window. And at that moment in time, I realised just how paranoid myself and others have become. Yes, it's scary times, but there are measures in place which are there for a reason. I handed back the bottle, remember, it was water and not gin, and I headed to the till. The cashier waved me through, much to a rather disgruntled customer who had bought most of the shop. Now, at this point, I only had the card, but my choice was to get on the wrong side of the cashier or the customer. And I decided there was no way I was disagreeing with the cashier. I paid for the card, popped it into my bag, and then, as you do, checked I had everything. Phone, keys, wallet. It was at this point that I realised the card. Where was the card? Then, in the corner of my eye, I saw another bag at the end of the till, with kitchen roll sticking out of it, similar to mine. And that was it. I'd only gone and put the birthday card in somebody else's shopping. So yes, it's a god-awful small affair or big affair. It's not comme d'habitude. And maybe we'll have to rewrite my way. Sarah Lysett reporting on my first day out after 14 days of self-isolation.
Plus ça change, eh? Thank you, Sarah. That's just the kind of people you get in Nice. We don't allow that sort of thing in Jean-Lip, huh? Delighted to see that Netflix have put all the Monty Python back catalogue up to keep us amused during confinement. So this evening we will be mainly watching The Life of Brian.
What's this then? Romanes eunt domus? People call Romanes, they go the house?
It says Romans go home.
No, it doesn't. What's Latin for Roman? Come on, come on.
Romanus?
Goes like...
Annus?
Vocative plural of Annus is?
Annie?
Romani? Aunt? What is aunt?
Go.
Conjugate the verb to go.
Here, eo is it imus idis aunt.
So aunt is?
Third person plural present indicative. They go.
But Romans go home is an order, so you must use the...
imperative.
Which is? How many Romans?
Plural, plural, ite.
Ite. Domus. Nominative. Go home. This is motion towards, isn't it, boy?
Dative! Not the dative! No! The accusative! Accusative! Domum, sir! Domum!
Except the comma takes the...
The locative, sir!
Which is...
Domum!
Domum! Wum. Understand?
Yes, sir!
Now, write it out 100 times.
Yes, sir! Thank you, sir! Hail Caesar, sir!
Hail Caesar! If it's not done by sunrise, I'll cut your balls off.
Oh, thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. Hail Caesar and everything, sir.
On FM and DAB Plus across the Côte d'Azur, on your phone and worldwide online, this is Riviera Radio with the latest local news for the south of France.
Sarah Lysett has the top stories across the Riviera.
Four people carrying the COVID-19 died in hospital on Thursday in the Var and the Alpes Maritimes, according to data provided by the Regional Health Service. Since the start of the epidemic, 60 patients have died in these two departments. In France, the number of deaths increased to 4,503. The Director of Health, Jérôme Salomon, reported 26,646 people currently hospitalised in France. 6,399 patients are in intensive care. Meanwhile, the number of deaths reported at a nursing home in Mougins went from 19 to 24 people, confirmed the Regional Health Agency. In Monaco, five more people were confirmed to have the coronavirus on Thursday, bringing the total number of coronavirus cases to 60 in the principality. 105 people are currently under home monitoring. A database launched in France on the COVID-19 has looked at perceptions of who is most affected by the coronavirus. Every day, French health officials update on the coronavirus epidemic, including numbers of confirmed cases, hospitalizations, and deaths. But demographers say these figures, along with those in other countries, leave much to be desired. Jean-Marie Robin of France's Institute for Demographic Studies says that they report total number of cases, hospitalizations and deaths, but the totals correspond to the capacity of testing of a given country. For example, the mortality rate appears much lower in Germany because Germany has carried out far more tests than Italy. France reported an unprecedented rise in the number of confirmed cases on Tuesday, which may be due to no more than expanded testing. To have a clearer idea of who is dying from COVID-19, in-ed demographers have been compiling data in France and with partners around Europe to expand on what is reported each day by health officials. France reported an unprecedented rise in the number of confirmed cases on Tuesday, which may be due to no more than expanded testing. To have a clearer idea of who is dying from COVID-19, in-ed demographers have been compiling data in France and with partners around Europe to expand on what is reported each day by health officials. Robin says the information, which was launched on the InEd website on Thursday, confirms that COVID-19 is deadlier for men than women in general and that some countries seem more affected than others. For reasons not yet clear, the data shows France has one of the lowest sex ratios when it comes to mortality of the new coronavirus. In addition to the sex ratio, expanded demographic research confirms COVID-19 is far more deadly for the elderly. Although younger people come down with serious enough cases, data shows they are far likelier to make a recovery. Less than 2% of deaths in France have been patients under 50. While mortality figures allow for comparisons of how the epidemic is evolving from one country to another, their capacity for recording the actual number of people dying is based on each country's reporting policy. Meanwhile, it's also possible that most coronavirus cases in France are not counted, as one patient who was diagnosed over the phone and who waited out the quarantine at home had little, if any, official intervention. The journalist explains that after having been diagnosed by his GP, he does not count in the official statistics, as he was never tested. According to him, it would appear that there is a non-emergency world of coronavirus in France. In other news, the French state has announced that it's committing an envelope of €65 million, which can be extended if necessary, in favour of the homeless to both house them and support them in their daily lives. Finally, France's Interior Minister has announced that a digital travel certificate will be available next Monday. He also confirms that controls will be tightened to avoid people going on vacation over the Easter weekend. Printed on paper and now a digital version. From the 6th of April, the exit certificate may be presented on a smartphone. The service will be accessible online on the website of the Ministry of the Interior and of the government. The minister said that now that the French have adopted the rules of confinement, it's advisable to give them a little flexibility with this tool. Adding, we can generate the form from our smartphone and present it to the police, who will scan a QR code. It's not a mobile application in order to avoid a possible data piracy. Included on the digital version of the certificate must be the time that you leave home. The time at which you publish the document will be accessible to the police, warns the Minister of the Interior, to prevent people from completing the certificate only at the site of a police check. Police and gendarmes will only have to scan the screen and this QR code to access the information. As a reminder, non-compliance with confinement is liable to a fine of €135.
Riviera Radio, Sports News.
Football, the UK Health Secretary Matt Hancock has said that English Premier League players should take a pay cut and play their parts during the coronavirus pandemic. There's been widespread criticism of clubs who furloughed non-playing staff while star players continue to receive full wages. Mr Hancock said that given the sacrifices many people are making, the first thing that Premier League players should do is make a contribution. The Professional Footballers Association says it's aware of the public sentiment but insists that if clubs can afford to continue paying their staff and players, then they should do so. Rugby union, the English RFU boss Bill Sweeney has urged coach Eddie Jones to keep his competitive edge after he signed a new contract that will keep him at Twickenham until after the 2023 World Cup. Jones has a 78% win ratio, which makes him one of England's best ever coaches, although he's never far from controversy. Sweeney recently reprimanded the 60-year-old Australian after he claimed that referee Ben O'Keefe had been biased against England in their Six Nations game against Wales. He said occasionally with Eddie he may slightly cross the line, but that they will manage it. Golf organisers of the Open are considering postponing the 2020 Championships because of the coronavirus pandemic. The event is due to take place at Royal St George in Sandwich between the 16th and 19th of July. A decision will be made within the next few days. Both the US Masters and the US PGA have already been cancelled. The other major, the US Open, is due to be played at Winged Foot in New York between the 18th and 21st of June, with organisers yet to make a decision on whether it will be played or not. And a thanks to Harry, who sent me a picture from Royal St George Sandwich this morning. Very nice, Harry. Looks like you've got some good weather there. And in racing, the Grand National at Aintree tomorrow may have been called off, but there's still some fun to be had with the televised virtual Grand National. The 40 runners, who would have been most likely to compete, will take part in the virtual race using CGI technology and special algorithms. Bookmakers are offering odds, with all profits going to NHS charities. The virtual race will be shown on ITV television at 6 p.m. tomorrow.
The Marine Weather Forecast, brought to you by Oyster Yachts. Be safe on the seas with Oyster Yachts.
For coastal areas up to 20 miles offshore the Isle Maritime in the Var, the general situation is high pressure, 1,018 millibars over the region. Winds are easterly, force 3 to 4. The sea is slight, visibility is good. Barometric pressure at Saint-Jean-Cap-Ferrat, 1,017 millibars. And the outlook for Saturday, clear skies, force 2 to 4, southeasterly winds, slight seas and good visibility. For North Corsica, winds are easterly, force 3 to 5. The sea is slight to moderate, visibility is good. Barometric pressure at Cap Corse, 1,018 millibars. And the outlook for Saturday, clear skies, force 2 to 4, easterly winds, slight seas and good visibility.
The Marine Weather Forecast, brought to you by Oyster Yachts. Crafted by British boat builders since 1973, the best ocean-going sailing yachts in the world. The world is your oyster. Make Oyster your world. OysterYachts.com.
Riviera Radio. Weather.
The sun has got his hat on. Yes, clear skies, lights to moderate southeasterly winds. Temperatures 15 to 17 degrees this afternoon. Overnight lows 9 degrees on the coast, 4 degrees inland with clear skies. The weekend, clear skies, highs of 16 to 19 degrees. Finally, scientists say trees have a role in playing in combating noise pollution in urban environments, and have identified the best species for the job. The larch was found to be the most effective tree when it comes to absorbing a noise with its bark. The conifer was the most effective out of 13 tree species in a lab-based sound absorption test. Researchers say the findings can help urban planners use trees for noise control. The results have been published in the Applied Acoustics Journal. The study assessed 76 samples from 13 tree species that displayed a variety of different bark characteristics. The co-author Jian Kang from University College London said, beside emphasising the effects of vision and shade, urban greening should be considered as well to achieve noise reduction during propagation. He said using plants as a potential silencer of urban noise could combine environmental protection and landscape business. You see that tree over there? What, the willow? No, it's never a willow.